From the Tobacco Road Sports Cafe, we're talking Duke baseball. Welcome to This Week in Duke Baseball with head coach Chris Pollard. Tonight's show is brought to you by Coca-Cola. There's magic when we cheer together. Now, here's your host, the voice of Blue Devil Baseball, Chris Edwards.
Welcome to Tobacco Road Sports Cafe and the latest edition of the Duke Baseball Show. I'm Chris Edwards. Great to be with the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard, and great to have you with us on this Monday afternoon. Coach, another great week for the ball club, 4-1. The road win Tuesday at Campbell, beat a really good High Point team at home the next night on Wednesday, and then won the rubber match yesterday to win the series over Virginia. A lot to feel good about as we talk today, but the way your team competed, given the tough competition and the grinds of the academic calendar going into finals week this week, you have to be really proud of the ball club.
Well, nobody responded better to a tough week than we did, yeah. And I mean that in all sincerity. No, it was nobody in the country that on paper had a tougher week when you factor in the midweek against a top 15 opponent in Campbell. As I mentioned to you, you come home the next night and you got a trap game before you go on the road for a huge weekend. And then to play well and stay focused in that game and then turn around and take two out of three from a really, really good UVA team in their ballpark. And as you mentioned, all in the midst of what is a really difficult time of the year to be a Duke student athlete. I mean, let's not forget these guys are being pushed and stretched and you know, the way they were able to stay mindful and be in the moment. It's a really easy time of the year to get out of the moment. There's a lot of things this time of year that can take you out of the moment, and our guys didn't allow that to happen. And you know what they've become really, really good at is keeping the focus on each other and allowing that to be the impetus that keeps them in the moment.
And we've talked a lot about how much this group enjoys being around one another, and yeah. We see it every day because we're around the team, you probably more than most. But now I think everybody else around the country is seeing just how much fun this team is having.
Yeah, Danny said it best on the way home last night. I mean, these guys, they played Mafia from the from the time that we pulled out of the football stadium, literally until the time we got off the bus at Coombs Field. And Danny said, I think these guys have only done three things all weekend. They've slept, they've played baseball, and they've played Mafia.
That's right.
They continue to find joy in all those moments together. And unlike many teams that I've ever been around, it's a pretty fun thing to watch.
I want to highlight a bunch of guys from this past week, and let's start with the pitching staff and a guy that maybe is not going to get a lot of the attention or the praise, but I thought Gabe Nard came in and gave you some really big innings, both Tuesday at Campbell and then this past weekend against Virginia.
Huge, huge. Really proud of Gabe. Guy that, you know, had to kind of come back from being in the valley a little bit. He was a guy coming out of the gate. We expected to get a lot of high leverage innings for us and, you know, kind of went through one of those freshman funks and had to really fight his way to the other side of it, and now is in a really good place, throwing the ball really well, and just got some huge outs for our team over the course of this past week.
How about Jimmy Romano? First career save Tuesday at Campbell. It feels to me like Jimmy could be a big piece of the bullpen as we move forward.
There is no doubt. You know, that's a guy, man, what an unsung hero. Guy that each time we've put him in the game, it's been in high leverage situations. Just goes to show you how much confidence that we have in him as a competitor. Mm-hmm. And he's risen to the occasion. And a great example of that being Tuesday night. We asked him to go in and get the toughest three outs in baseball on the road against a really, really talented Campbell team. And he was up to the task. And, you know, he's just a very selfless player.
How important was it and how big was it, not just for the ball club, but for Fran O'Shell to be able to come in, come back yesterday? First time all year, I think he's pitched twice in a weekend, and he pitched really effective, I thought.
Yeah, it was great to see the way he bounced back. You know, he hasn't had many games where he's struggled, but he did on Friday night. And to see him bounce back and have a really good inning yesterday, I thought it was great for him. I thought it was great for the team to see him do that. And I thought, you know, it was a big inning for us emotionally yesterday.
Going back to the outing for Fran against Louisville last week, and he had to pitch through some traffic on the bases, had to pitch through some traffic, as you mentioned, on Friday night. How big is that for him in his development to just not go out there and blow it past guys, but to have to pitch?
Yeah, well, I mean, you're seeing just a maturation of a guy that's learning how to go out there and get outs without his best stuff, and that's what pitching is. You know, especially this time of year, you're not going to feel fresh very often when you take the ball, but you still got to go out there and figure out a way to compete and get outs. And, you know, yesterday was a great example of that. Him and last Saturday versus Louisville, mm-hmm. him being able to go in there, you know, with his not without his best stuff and still figure out a way to get us off the field.
We talk a lot about wanting the baseball and wanting the ball in those big moments, and it feels like every time James Talon comes in, you can just tell he relishes being in those big moments.
Yeah, it's not just about the stuff with James. The stuff is electric. It's elite. It's outlier. But he also is a tremendous competitor and a very tough-minded individual. And you know, that was on full display last Saturday versus Louisville after he gave up the home run that gave up the lead and then proceeded to get us six outs after that, really tough outs, to lock down that ball game. And again, yesterday, man, he was as good as I've ever seen him. I think he really, being a Virginia kid, mm-hmm. He really relished the opportunity to pitch in that ball game yesterday.
Yeah, I think I asked you one of our pregames earlier this week how much fun it is to see a different guy get the big hit every single night for your ball club, because it's been somebody different. But it's kind of the same for the pitching staff, right? We don't talk about it. Maybe it's a different guy every day that's getting a crucial out or getting several crucial outs to help this team win.
I know. It's an incredible example. How many different guys have stepped up for this team over the course of the year, you know, that next man up type of mentality. And you know, so many guys in big moments, big spots, and they haven't allowed the moment to be too big for them. You know, and I may be anticipating a guy you're going to talk about later on, but I'll bring him up anyway. You know, the job by Cole Hebel yesterday defensively, you know, that was huge. The play he made in the fourth and turned a double play, and you know, just incredible defense all weekend.
Do we appreciate how good this club is as a whole defensively?
Well, this weekend really put it on display because, you know, in a lot of different spots over the course of this year, you could look and say, well, they haven't had to play a ton of defense. Mm-hmm. You know, we strike a lot of guys out. When you strike a lot of guys out, you don't have to make a ton of plays. But this weekend against a UVA team that just doesn't strike out, we had to make a lot of plays, and we were up to the task. And our defense really answered the call this weekend. I thought, you know, Friday night, the way we handled the baseball on a wet track, and then yesterday made some big-time plays to get ourselves off the field.
Well, let me go back to the pitching staff for a second. Talk about the weekend rotation, the three starts you got from Gow on Friday, Higgins on Saturday, and Healy yesterday. Just thoughts on those three starts?
Yeah, I mean, every single guy – you know, did their job. You know, Gow got us to the fifth, and so did Higgins. And then yesterday it was one time through the lineup or three innings with Healy, and he was really efficient and was able to get us three innings. That you know, being able to get that third inning for us yesterday, that was huge. And, you know, I can't say enough about his development, his maturation. You know, that's a guy that didn't pitch for us really this fall. I mean, he had two outings versus live hitters this fall and was, you know, slow working himself into the mix in the preseason, and then just has gotten better and better as the year's gone on. And then, you know, we ask him to take the ball on short rest this weekend. But we ask him to make his first ACC start on the road in one of the most difficult environments to pitch in our league. And he was up to the challenge, and I thought his stuff yesterday was as good as it's been all year.
Certainly helped that your offense got him three runs there in the first
for
inning
sure.
To help calm the nerves. But for him to go out and have a shutdown first inning, that seemed to really set the tone yesterday.
Yeah, without question. I mean, he was in attack mode, and that's the great thing about Andrew Healy. I mean, now you're talking about what over the course of now 36 innings, 32 innings, four walks, mm-hmm. you know, a walk every eight innings. You know that he's going to force the opponent to have to hit. They're going to have to string together hits to score against him, and that's a luxury.
Before we get into the offense, I want to ask about this team having a short memory. We talked a little bit about it earlier in the show. You have the tough game on Saturday night. It's a quick turnaround after the ball game on Friday. And it seemed like yesterday they were just back to their normal selves. Like, they didn't care about anything but that game in front of them.
They're very, very good at being in the moment, Chris. You know, there was no hangover, no lingering effects from Saturday. You know, they've been very good at having a short memory. We call it having amnesia. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been very good, win or lose, at not having a hangover the next day. You know, sometimes you can allow a win to linger and carry over into the next day just as much as a loss. And either way, this team has been really good at showing up and being in the moment and just fighting and competing on that given day.
We'll wrap up the opening segment with this thought. You talked about Mafia earlier. Can you explain the rules of Mafia? Because I have no idea what's going on.
No idea. None. I find it incredibly confusing. I find it really confusing how they can enjoy it for hours on hours on end. As soon as exams are over with, Chris, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a segment on the radio show about Mafia.
Yeah.
We're going to bring in one of our guys, Solo or Metz or Mooney, and we'll just take one segment of the radio show to explain Mafia, and I'm going to sit at the table and listen and make notes so that I better understand it, because I find it incredibly confusing.
If you understood it, would you jump in and play Mafia?
No, not at all.
Okay. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Coach in just a moment. This is the Blue Devil Sports Network from Learfield.
And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure you... Jim. Ha-ha, Jim. We're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.
Let me grab my car keys and we'll roll.
We still going to that new bar downtown?
Yeah, supposed to be fun. Lexi, give me driving directions from home to downtown bar district.
Autocorrect. Suggest Uber. Pick up home. Drop off downtown bar district.
No, I'm driving.
Suggest the Metro bus. Departing in 12 minutes.
Point taken, Lexi. We'll grab a ride.
If you drink, don't drive. Decide to ride. Brought to you in partnership by Anheuser-Busch, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and Uber.
Everyone has an idea of their perfect engagement ring. You'll know it when you see it, but you have to see it. Allura Bridal from Reed's Jewelers. 8 stunning collections with over 300 styles. Yellow, rose, or white gold. Two-tone, stacks, pavé, solitaires, wraps, guards. Your perfect ring exists. All you have to do is come and see it. It's your style and your choice with Allura Bridal. Only at Reed's Jewelers and Reed's.com.
I feel happy, Valero Pay Plus app.
I feel happy, it makes savings a snap.
Use it and start saving automatically.
You just save some money, not too shabby.
I feel happy, I'm in and out real fast.
I feel happy, now pit stops are a blast.
Download today and get in on the fun.
Valero Pay Plus app, your savings have begun.
For any surface in every season, there's a Continental tire that delivers superior performance. From ultra-high performance tires like the Extreme Contact Sport to passenger touring tires to all-terrain light truck tires like the Terrain Contact AT, Continental has a tire that gives you confidence no matter the road conditions. Whether you're looking for summer, all-season, or winter tires, Continental Tire has something to fit your needs. Visit ContinentalTire.com to find your ideal tire. Continental Tire, a proud partner of the Duke Blue Devils.
Enjoying the game but not the drink being spilled down your back or the foam finger poking you in the face? Well, head to the concession stand, grab a Lindy's Italian Ice, and take a 6-ounce vacation. A 6-ounce cup of lemon Italian ice will make you feel like you're swaying in a hammock and the only thing in your face is a cool, salty breeze. And that ought to have you refreshed. Now get your head back in the game and start belting out blue and white with the youthful exuberance of the freshman behind you. Yes, the same one that keeps spilling his drink down your back. Lindy's Italian Ice. Have an ice day.
Duke fans know about excellence and achievement and the value of a Duke education. So when someone is injured and needs legal help, it makes sense to call the law offices of James Scott Farron, a statewide law firm managed by a Duke Law graduate. If you're injured in an auto accident or on the job, call on the Hurt Line, 1-800-HURT-LINE. The law offices of James Scott Farron, headquartered near Duke at 555 Mangum Street in Durham, North Carolina.
It's bow time.
Yep, it's Eden time again. Now you could unload groceries, chop, dice, mince, preheat, heat, slap around the smoke detector, and then celebrate with a big old pile of dishes. But if you're tired of cooking, or tired of sorta cooking, it's time to feed the whole family with Bojangles Fried Chicken Family Meal. With Bojangles famous chicken, fixins, biscuits, and tea, you can forget the cookbook and spend some well-earned quality time with a delicious dinner from Bojangles. It's Bo time.
We're back at Tobacco Road Sports Cafe with the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard. Thanks for joining us on this Monday afternoon. Coach, we talked yesterday in the pregame show about making some adjustments against Virginia's starter, O'Connor, yesterday. It really seemed like to me, especially early in the game, the team was committed to making those adjustments.
Yeah, I think it was a really good job with approach, and Coach Tyler talked about it in the pregame hitter meeting about, you know, the fact that obviously we're right-handed dominant as a team right now, especially even more so with Fisher out with the injury. And we see a high percentage of breaking ball. And, you know, coming off a Saturday where Parker had used the breaking ball really effectively against our right-handed hitters, you know, the game plan was to just go in there and sit off speed. And you know, when you anticipate, your eyes work better, you know. And so guys were able to lay off pitches that if you're sitting fastball and you're starting your rhythm and your load a little earlier – maybe you're a little bit more susceptible to that pitch. And so we were able to shrink the zone. We hit in a smaller zone, and therefore, you know, we had some really good takes. And that led to us getting some guys and runners on, and then we're able to put some pressure on them, and we came up with a couple of big hits.
We keep talking all year about how good this team is with two out. After yesterday's game, 139 two-out RBI this season. MJ Metz with 20 two-out RBI. How tough is it for opposing pitching staffs now to know that they just can't give up a base runner with two out because this team is so good at being good with two outs?
Yeah, it's in our sport, it's one of the universal signs of toughness. Mm-hmm. It's a sign of maturity. It's a sign of confidence, and so I think you see all of those things when you see our approach right now with two outs and even with two strikes.
MJ Metz, speaking of him, he didn't hit a home run in either of the last two games of that series. What's wrong with him?
I know, right? I mean, what an incredible week, incredible month. He's now batting .330. In ACC play, his OPS is close to 1,000. For the month of April, .356 with 9 home runs with almost a 1,300 OPS. To say that guy's been really important for our team and really important for our offense would be a colossal understatement. And then on top of that, you know, we've both talked at various times about what he does for this team defensively and how he elevates everybody with you know, how well he's played defensively.
Well, what has he done offensively, the work maybe he's done with Coach Tyler that we don't see where he's got himself in a good place offensively?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it's doing a great job of hunting his pitch, you know, and again, shrinking the zone and being on time when he does get his pitch. And I think, you know, for me, it hasn't been a big mechanical shift or switch. It's just been about, you know, getting in a good place with his approach and having a good game plan when he gets in the box.
I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about Alex Stone. You look at the last five games, the week that Stone had, .455 average, 3 homers, 5 RBIs, over a 1,400 OPS. But the thing that jumped out to me, over 5 games this week where he played every day, he only struck out 2 times.
Yeah, that's been the biggest shift you've seen with Al, just – you know, his ability to move the ball and, you know, the two-strike fight and two-strike approach, which is something that we really saw all fall. I mean, that was one of the reasons we wanted him there in the middle of the lineup because his two-strike approach and two-strike fight had been really good. And, you know, it's another guy. He's batting .360 for the month of April with 7 home runs and, you know, also now batting close to .300 in ACC play. And so, and on top of that, you know, just really managing a tremendous workload behind the plate.
You throw in Metz and Stone at the top of the order with Mooney and Bashir's in the way they're swinging it and getting on base, too. That's a really formidable top four in the order.
Yeah, the front four has been really good for us. You know, we've continued to shift Gio up in the lineup. has given us really good at-bats. It's been great to see Luke Storm getting going and be in a good place, and I thought he had a great weekend. So, you know, I like our offense right now and the flow to our offense.
Let's talk more about Storm for a second. Five hits in the Virginia series. He put together some really good at-bats. You think about the at-bat to end the ball game on Saturday. That was really big. We talked about that. It just feels like Storm kind of rounding back into the form we saw early in the year.
Yeah, I mean, you said it. Five hits. He had the great at-bat. Even though it ended the game on Saturday, had a great at-bat to extend Barry's outing, hit a ball right on the screws, you know, had another AB yesterday. It was a terrific at-bat to move the runner in the eighth. And so, you know, I really like where he's at right now. Even his outs are really good outs.
Let's talk about the month of April now that we've finished the month. Went 15-3. Nine of your 15 wins in April came against teams that were in the top 15 at the time that you beat them. I mean, kind of understatement of the day was say that's a pretty good month.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really proud of our team. You know, I mean, it goes without saying. I mean, that was a challenging stretch, you know, and I think over that stretch, you look back and say that was probably from a strength of schedule standpoint, the month of April is as good a schedule as anybody played in the country, and we managed it really well. And, you know, I think the thing that was impressive to me is that these guys have done a good job of not deviating from who they are and what's put them in a position to be successful. You see a lot of teams when they start to have success, you know, they don't manage it well. They don't handle the success well. You know, we've talked about a lot about not eating the rat poison. And this group has done a good job to this point. Now, the challenge gets harder. The deeper you go in the year, that challenge becomes greater. But so far and through this month of April, these guys did a good job of staying away from the rat poison.
Does that speak to the leadership on this team?
Yeah, without question. Without question. And it goes back to our captains, you know, our three captains, and Boucher and Mooney and Stone and the job they're doing. And, you know, it speaks to the job that our bench is doing and how involved and how engaged they are and what they do to support guys when they're out there on the field. And it speaks to our coaching staff and the tremendous job that these guys are doing and the buy-in that they've created and the rapport they have. It's not one thing, it's a lot of things, but, you know, I've been very, very, very proud of this group.
Let's turn our focus toward this week. No game until Sunday, the doubleheader against Longwood with the exam break. Do you feel like for this team the exam break is coming at a good time?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of people would look at it and say, well, you're playing great, why don't you just keep playing? But, you know, this is a really fatigued team, a really thin team, you know, from a roster depth standpoint. You know, we elected not to take any ground balls yesterday or any in and out. I mean, just because you've got right now, we had one infielder on the bench, and he's a pitcher, and a guy that could have very well gone in and pitched in that game. So we didn't want to stretch ourselves, and so this gives us a chance to get guys fresh. There's no secret we've had to lean on our bullpen a lot. Gives them a chance to freshen up and catch their breath. I think it's an opportunity for us to get Chad Knight all the way back healthy again, get these guys through a difficult academic stretch, and then be ready for, you know, the final 2 weeks of the regular season and on into the ACC tournament and hopefully beyond.
Well, let's talk about this week from a logistical standpoint. What does it look like for the players and for the staff as you get ready to navigate exams and get ready to play Longwood on Sunday?
Yeah, we give the guys these first 2 days off, and they'll jump in the weight room a little bit, but, you know, try to get away from the baseball side of a little bit and get a head start and a jump on the academic work that they've got. We'll start to kind of ease back into practice on Wednesday and include another lift to get their bodies freshened back up. You know, Thursday we'll have a scrimmage because you got to get some live work in during that time period so you can see live arm and stay game ready. And then, you know, the way I've explained it on the show before in past years, the way I've talked about it with our team yesterday, if you think about the week, you know, this coming Thursday we'll scrimmage. That's kind of our Tuesday, mm-hmm. right? And then so Friday becomes Wednesday's practice, which, you know, in a season, our Wednesdays look pretty standard, right? And so do our Thursdays. And so Saturday becomes our Thursday practice, Sunday becomes our Friday, our jump back into game week kind of mindset. So we'll try to make, once we get to Thursday, try to make it look like a pretty typical week from that point forward, albeit a little bit shifted. And these first couple of days of the week will provide us an opportunity as a coaching staff to get caught up on some recruiting ins and outs, and and then we'll be ready to hit it again here in just a couple of days.
We get to May, which is always May ball. We talk about how much fun May ball is. Is this the best time of year for a college baseball player?
It would be if, you know, for me as a player, you know, just to get to the backside of exams and just to be able to go out and be with your teammates and compete. I know this is something our guys probably look forward to it a little bit more at Duke than maybe some other places because, you know, they have some challenges academically that maybe some other players don't. And so to be able to get all of that behind them and just get in a baseball mindset, I think, is something that they really relish.
I know we've talked about it before, but remind everybody of your toughest exam you took when you were at Davidson.
I feel like you asked me
this. I love this story. This is one of my favorite stories.
No, I took a applied statistics exam with Graham Barton, who was my advisor. And I think I got a 10 or 11 on it. And I
out of 100.
When I got the exam back, I asked. I was like, is this out of 100? Because that didn't seem good at all. And so he and I had a great conversation, and it started with, you know, me saying, you and I both know that I can't pass this class. Like, I don't have the gray matter to pass this class. The bandwidth to understand the material that you're talking about. And he was great. He said, I want you just to show up every day and sit in the front row and act like you know what's going on. And if you can do that for the next several weeks, you'll get a C-. And that's what I did. And I didn't pass a single thing the rest of the semester. But when I got the grades at the end of the semester, there it was. It was a C-.
I can't believe Stephanie didn't help you more in that class.
That's right. That's right. No, I don't know that anybody or anything could have helped me in that class.
Well, let me spin it to you like this. Thomas and Brady now have been in school for a while. As a parent, what's been the toughest assignment you've had to help Thomas or Brady with?
Stephanie's here at the radio show
she
today.
Is, yeah.
So I could have lied some other days. Our kids don't ask me for help with their homework. They never have. They never will. Every once in a while, they'll walk downstairs and ask Steph a question about something going on with an assignment, and I'll act offended and say, "Well, you know, you don't ever ask me to help you with it," and I get the eye roll and the laugh. But thankfully for our family, they both got Stephanie's smarts and not mine.
All right, let's talk about something really important that happened pregame yesterday. There was a race in the outfield between Aaron from Sports
really
Info
good race.
And Shane
really,
from,
really
from
good
Sports
race.
Info.
And yeah.
From what I saw in the press box, they both got off to a slow start, and then Shane kind of smoked him at the end.
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's a tough way to phrase it. I thought it was a bang-bang race. I thought it was anybody's race till the very end, and Shane's not even here, and you're going to throw Aaron under the bus.
Well, I told
and he
Aaron
is
that.
Here.
Yeah.
I did think Shane slipped a little bit out of the gate. I thought Aaron got out of the gate clean. I thought that Shane had some closing speed. But it was anybody's race there with about a step to go. And it was big of both those guys to step up for us on a rubber match day. So we're grateful to both those guys. And that's not the last time you'll see those two head-to-head before the season's out.
I believe that. Now, this race has kind of become a thing, and I've also heard through the grapevine that Max Brown, our great manager, and Coach Ross had a couple of races. And last I heard, Max kind of smoked Tyler. And
again, that's tough verbiage.
Well, I mean, I just don't know that Tyler's got the speed to keep up with Max.
Well, here's what I'll tell you. Number one, on that, if you're talking about that race in particular,
yeah.
I was right there. I had Tyler's body out in front. So I had him a half step in the lead. And then Max reached out and got him with the length.
Mm-hmm.
But what it feels like, Chris, is that you want in on the action.
I do.
The way
I really
you're
do.
Talking about it right now. So we'll set you up in
but,
a race.
But we can't do it at 44 because the pregame show starts at 45. So we got to either do it at practice or do it earlier in the pregame.
Maybe we'll do the pregame live from out there on the field while you race. We'll give the headset to somebody else temporarily. Let you race at 44 or 45, And then let's come in here and talk about that race.
Well, no, I will admit that I got my butt kicked by Jeff Friday last year. Like, I got smoked by Jeff at Pittsburgh last year.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was good. That was good. That's a good memory there.
Yeah, because I remember, because, you know, the losses stick with you more than the wins do.
Well, maybe Jeff's listening, and we'll bring Jeff in to smoke you again before the season's over with.
I like it. Coach, enjoy some downtime, and we'll holler at you before the ball game on Sunday afternoon.
Sounds good.
That's the head coach of the Blue Devils, Chris Pollard. Thanks for joining us on this Monday from Tobacco Road Sports Cafe.
You've been listening to This Week in Duke Baseball with Blue Devils head coach Chris Pollard. Tonight's show was brought to you by Coca-Cola. There's magic when we cheer together. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Blue Devils Sports Network.